Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're doing something properly useful for jungle and old-school D&B, taking a tiny tapis fragment and stretching it into a living atmosphere using resampling in Ableton Live 12. This is not about making a big noisy pad just for the sake of it. The point is to turn a short, breathy piece of hiss into a tempo lock texture that feels printed into the track. Something that sits behind the breaks, supports the bass, and gives the whole arrangement that haunted, smoked out, 90s energy. Why this works in D&B is simple. Jungle and old school influence drum and bass love contrast. You got rigid drums, fast edits, heavy sub, and then this unstable, imperfect air layer underneath. That tension is part of the identity. A stretched hiss can behave like room tone, tape ghost, vinyl dust, or a pressure bed that glues the arrangement together without stealing the spotlight. So let's build it from scratch. Start with a short source. Keep it tiny and characterful. Tape hiss. Vinyl noise, cassette artifact, a breathy vocal tail, a preamp noise floor, even a little room noise from a recording. The key is that it should already have some life in it. You want a fragment, not a clean static bed. A 1 to 4 second source is usually enough, because the whole trick is to resample and expand that little moment into something much bigger. Trim tightly and listen for the most interesting part. Maybe there's a tiny flutter, a little bump, a weird top-end smear. Keep that. If it sounds too perfect and too flat, it'll turn generic once you stretch it. Before you print anything, build a live chain on that audio track. Stick to stock Ableton devices. A solid starting point is auto filter, saturator, echo or simple delay, reverb, and utility. First, shape the source with auto filter. High pass it enough to remove any low rumble, usually somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz depending on the sample. Then tame or emphasize the top end with a low pass if needed. If the hiss is harsh, bring the cutoff down a bit. If it's dull, leave more air in there. Then add a little saturator. Not loads, just enough to give the hiss some density so it doesn't become papery when stretched. A few dB of drive is often enough. If the source gets spiky, use soft clip. After that, add a touch of echo or a very short delay. Keep it subtle. You're not trying to create an obvious delay effect. You're just smearing the edges a little so the texture feels less static. A small reverb after that can make it bloom, but don't drown it. You want atmosphere, not a wash that takes over the mix. Utility at the end is your discipline tool. Use it to control level, and if needed, narrow the image before you print. That matters later when you're trying to keep the center clear for kick, snare, and sub. What to listen for here is whether the source now feels pre-shaped and alive. If the loop already has a vibe in one or two bars, you're in the right zone. If it's still boring, keep shaping before you commit. Now comes the important part. Resample it. Create a new audio track and record the output of that chain into a fresh clip. This is where the workflow gets powerful, because once it's printed, you can warp it, slice it, reverse it, and arrange it with much more control than a live chain running forever. Don't just record a static loop. Ride the filter, move the reverb, adjust saturation, maybe shift the delay feedback while the resampling runs. Give the printed audio some motion. You can even automate the cutoff over the pass, starting more open and closing down, or the other way around if you want the texture to bloom into the drop. That movement is the whole game. A printed atmosphere with shape feels much more musical than a flat one. Once you've captured a good pass, open the clip and stretch it to the length you need. Warp it so it can support 4, 8, or 16 bar phrasing. Complex or Complex Pro can work really well when you want smoother stretching and a more smeared, cohesive result. If you want something rougher and more degraded, compare that against a more basic warp approach and see which one keeps the most character. What to listen for here is crucial. If the stretched hiss still has motion when the drums enter, you've got it. If it turns into a dead broadband blanket that just sits there and masks the groove, you've stretched too far, or the source needed more movement before printing. A good little timing trick is to nudge the clips of the most interesting swell lands just before the snare or just after it. In jungle, those tiny placements make the atmosphere feel locked to the break instead of floating above it. Small move, big payoff. Now think about phrasing, not just duration. A strong old-school style move is to make a 4-bar atmosphere that evolves over 16 bars. Maybe the first 4 bars are narrow and filtered, then it opens a bit, then it gets wider or more reverberant, and finally it pulls back before the drop. You can do that by slicing the clip, automating clip gain, moving warp markers, or splitting regions and treating them slightly differently. Use fades carefully. If you want it to feel like a continuous tape bed, short fades help remove clicks without making it feel edited. If you want a more haunted, chopped feel, You can leave the edges a little harder, just make sure they don't click, and always check it in context. The atmosphere should not fight the snare crack or cloud the sub. If your break loses definition when the hiss comes in, the layer is probably too bright, too loud, or too wide. At this point, shape it for mix use. Put the printed atmosphere through a second chain for tone and control. A good stock device chain here is a Q8, compressor or glue compressor, saturator or drum bus, and utility. With a Q8, high pass again if needed. Usually somewhere between 120 and 250 HC is enough to clear out any leftover junk in the low end. If the hiss is biting into the snare's presence zone, try a gentle cut around 2.5 to 5 kHC. If it's feeling too dull, you can add a small high shelf above 8 kHC, but keep it subtle. Use compression only if the swells are distracting. You're not trying to flatten it. Just tame any uneven movement so the atmosphere supports the groove instead of pulling focus. A little extra saturation or drum bus can make it feel more like a playback texture and less like pristine noise. Just be careful. Too much drive on hiss can turn it into harsh fizz fast. Then check mono. That's a big one. If the atmosphere collapses or gets facey, narrow it until the center stays stable. In club systems, mono safe ambience is worth more than flashy stereo width. Now place it against the actual drums and bass. This is the moment where it stops being sound design and becomes arrangement. Ask yourself two questions. Does the hiss support the groove without blurring the snare? And does it create tension in the gaps without stealing attention from the bass rhythm? If the snare starts losing its crack, the atmosphere should yield first. Reduce it a little around the snare presence zone, or automate its level down by a dB or two on strong hits. That tiny movement can make the break feel much clearer. For a jungle-style drop, you can make the layer breathe around the break slices instead of sitting static at one level. For a roller, keep it more consistent and let the arrangement do the talking. For a more chopped feel, let the atmosphere duck and swell in response to the edits. Now bring automation into the picture. Great targets are filter cutoff, reverb wet level, utility gain, and maybe delay feedback on a transition. One classic move is to let the hiss lead into the drop with a two-bar pre-roll where the filter opens, then cut it hard on the one. That silence makes the drum entry hit harder. Another useful trick is to let the atmosphere bloom between vocal chops or stab hits, then duck slightly when the vocal lands. That gives you a call and response feel and keeps the track breathing like a reedal arrangement instead of one long texture loop. And here's a smart workflow habit. If you find a great sweep or swell, resample it immediately and name it clearly by function. Something like his swell 4 bars or his dark pre. Building a little library of printed atmospheres saves you a lot of time later. A very effective advanced move is to make two versions. One darker, narrower, and more filtered. Another wider, airier, and more reverberant. Use the darker version when the drums are heavy and the sub needs room. Use the wider one for breakdowns, intros, or pre-drop tension. You usually don't want both at full level at the same time. One main layer and one shadow layer is often enough. If both versions are active, check mono and the stereo field. Two wide atmospheres together can sound lush in headphones and messy on a club system. Keep the center clear first, then add width where it belongs. What to listen for now is whether muting the atmosphere changes the emotional weight of the section. If the track suddenly feels flatter, less haunted, or less cohesive without it, that's a good sign. That means the layer is doing a real job. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't leave the hiss super wide from the start. It may sound impressive solo, but it can weaken mono compatibility and blur the center. Don't print a static source with no movement. That turns into wallpaper. Don't stretch too far before shaping it. It can get brittle or lifeless. Don't let it fight the snare around the 2 to 5 kHC zone. Don't drown it in reverb and call it ambience. Reverb should help phrasing, not erase the groove. And don't forget the low end. Even a hiss layer can carry unwanted residue that muddies the bass. If you want a darker, heavier DNB flavor, print two passes with different intent. One pass should be more filtered and claustrophobic. The other should be more open and airy. Keep the more damaged version for the second drop or the heavier return. You can also reverse print a resampled pass before warping it, which creates a really nice inhale-like lead-in before a snare fill or drop. Use that sparingly, though. One well-placed reverse swell is stronger than a constant stream of FX. You can also think in layers of distance. One version close and gritty, another washed and far away. The close one gives body and tension. The distant one gives halo and depth. That kind of perspective is gold in jungle and old school DNB. The bigger arrangement idea is this. Atmosphere should support the narrative of the track. Intro can be more open. Pre-drop can get narrower and more tense. Drop 1 should be more supportive and less obvious. Breakdown can return to a wider or more haunted version. Second drop can be darker and more damaged, so the track develops instead of repeating. That contrast matters. In DNB, perceived weight often comes from subtraction, not just piling more stuff on top. So here is the takeaway. Stretching tape hiss into a jungle atmosphere is powerful because it turns a tiny, noisy fragment into an arrangement-ready texture with motion. Build movement before you print. Commit early. Shape the audio for clarity. Keep the center clean. Use automation to serve the section. And always check it with drums and bass, not just in solo.